It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kickstart it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer, I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday, June 16th, 2020, and you know what that means. It's time to get nerdy, y'all. Welcome to episode number 144 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest gaming podcast in the galaxy. I am Lom, also known as Mr. Nice Guy, and I'm joined by my comrade in gaming commentary, Return of the Mac.
Once again.
Also known as Maxion. Mac, how are you, brother?
I'm doing pretty well, man. I do have to start, before I say anything else, with some small announcements.
Please do. What is it?
Really just one. I did spring it on Mr. Nice Guy last time at the end of the show that we are going to be, we're going to be in the running for a podcast award. I'm just going to drop a link in the chat to those who are there. It's podcastawards.com. And the thing of it is that you won't be able to vote until July 1st. Yeah, yeah. But it starts from July 1st to July 31st. You can nominate the podcasts for, you know, for being that. We Are In Games and Hobbies is our category. And of the top 10, at the end of July 31st, then they'll take those that have made the top 10 in each of those, and then they'll compose their, you know, their boards of people who are doing the voting, and then at the end of that process, we will have the number one in each of the various categories. And hopefully...
So you're saying we'll have the number one because we're going to be number one? Is that what you're saying, Max?
Well, I certainly hope so.
I like that confidence. I like that confidence,
well,
man.
I feel like we bring a certain well-rounded approach to video games that I think deserves an award. And
a certain je ne sais quoi?
Oh, yes. As the French would say, I don't know what,
right.
Obviously.
Yeah, right.
But I feel like this. And as an added bonus, it will finally be true when I say, much to my wife's chagrin, an award-winning video game podcast. So I wanna make that happen.
I wanna make that happen too.
Well, so you guys will be able to come July 1st through 31st. So, yeah.
We'll keep letting you know about that. Every time you see our faces, we will let you know about that. Now, Mac, anything on a personal level? Anything fun happened this week? If not, I got some stuff. How about I go? Because since you just talked for like 10 minutes.
Sure, go for it.
Promoting stuff. So stand-up is starting to happen again, man.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's a pretty dope thing. Yeah. So I'm getting a few corporate gigs here and there. And the fun thing about it is I can take time off and I have flexibility with work now, working from home, where I can take the family with me. We can camp out for a couple days at like a local campsite. I can go do the show and then we can come home. So that's been kind of fun. The other thing is Mrs. Nice Girl and I just celebrated 10 years of marriage last week, and that was pretty dope. We kept it pretty simple because we're still doing the whole social distancing thing, but we ordered some food, we had a really good meal, we watched some movies, we just relaxed and had a good time, and then we got some stuff planned for once we can actually travel again. So 10 years, y'all. Your boy did it. Thank you so much for the congratulations in the chat. Mac is going to edit in some music here, some epic music, and also some applause. So if you're listening at home and he doesn't do that, I want you to tweet at him and say, Mr. Maxion, why did you not edit that in? Mr. Nice Guy promised us that you
would. Clearly, I lack appreciation for the 10 years of marriage. So, so that's why. That's my preemptive response. But dude, that is fantastic. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, man. It's been a great 10. It's been the best 10 years of my life. That sounds cliche, but she's the perfect girl. It's perfect wife, perfect mom. It's been a dope experience. And I don't want you to have to top that, but if you want to try, you're welcome to.
I don't think I can, but I mean, last week was great. I mean, I had discussed a little bit on last week's podcast about how I was in Utah, I was surrounded by family members and friends as well, And it was certainly interesting because where I live now in sort of rural nowhere, Nebraska, I can't order food for delivery because there's no delivery places that would come to where I am. I can't not get together with people, if that makes sense.
I understand. You have to see people to get food to survive.
Yeah. Well, actually, where I was going with that was that unlike, you know, some place where maybe I knew a lot of people, I can't be like, I've got a social distance. I can't see you for that. It's just like, I don't have anybody to see out here. So,
oh, I got you.
Yeah. So it's that. So it was definitely fun and enjoyable being in a place where I knew people, where I could hang out and, you know, giving someone a hug sure as heck felt really great. You know,
this is a cry for help, y'all.
Yeah,
Mac needs some hugs. Send that man some hugs in the chat, please.
It's true. You can
tweet at him some hugs.
You can send me those hugs. But I mean, there's something about it. So it was fantastic. It was great. And I had a good time. But now I'm back and I'm getting settled back into, into the usual routine of things. Thankfully, that does include what we are doing right now. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing. And I say we do what we do best, Mac, and hop right into the gaming news. What do you think about that?
Let's do it.
Welcome to episode 144, everybody. It's going to be a straight up party because we got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about today. Mac, an ongoing conversation that we have is about if the fact that conferences like E3, PAX, if they are done, you know, now that this social distancing thing has happened, now that coronavirus has changed 2020, will we ever go back to the old format? Well, it looks like we might not. This is speculation. But apparently PAX has announced that it will replace PAX West and PAX Australia with live events this year, with PAX Online and all new digital virtual event. And it's going to be from September 12th through 20th. It's going to be free to attend. There will be 9 days of shows, game reveals, and demos, and also some esports tournaments, Mac. It is the official replacement for those events due to COVID-19. And there's a statement here from the co-founder. He says, PAX Online brings that shared experience home, along with game reveals, exclusive hands-on experiences, blah, 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 blah. This is from IGN.com by Matt Kim. Mac, do you think we can get the same excitement of PAX West watching it online, especially since you and I had talked offline about potentially going to Seattle for PAX West?
It's true.
What do you think, man?
Well, having never been to PAX before, I don't know if we can capture that same thing. I have no frame of reference, but I mean, I sure want to go to an in-person convention once again.
Now, here's my thing. I don't feel like you can ever get the same feel online as you can get in person. There's just something that comes from being able to go to those types of events in person, smelling the BO of my fellow gamers and waiting in lines to try demos, that you just can't get that online. Now, apparently it's going to be like a 9-day event, and I assume that is because 8 straight hours of doing it online for 3 days would probably not work. I like that it's free, and I honestly think that the loss of revenue is also offset by a loss of cost. So I think that a lot of events are going to do this in the future, and I think that this is the way things are going to be. Now, one other thing that I will say, and I've told this story many times on the stream, I love going to these types of events because I love watching the tournaments live. There's something about being at a sporting event or a concert that you just can't get when you're watching it on TV. And having watched some Super Smash Brothers tournaments back in the day at the very first PAX in Seattle, I know that the feeling of watching it live just can't be beat. So that's kind of where I'm at. People in the chat, what are they saying?
Galvatron thinks that PAX is not done, but E3 is probably done because industry heavy hitters were dropping out even prior to this. The nice thing, as Spenis brings up, is that, you know, this would make PAX more accessible to people. So it would be nice to have all that good information for everybody.
Yeah, I think that the security is another big thing. There was a gaming event a few years ago where someone well, we won't get into it, but people have done violent things. They've done crazy things at these events where there's lots of people. And I mean, it's so much safer to do it live streamed, right? But that applies to everything. That applies to sports, that applies to concerts, applies to your kids' recital, whatever it is. All right, moving on to our next news story. This one is about a Humble Bundle that has launched. Mac, have you ever purchased a Humble Bundle before? A bundle of games and goodies on the internet?
I have purchased a few.
Awesome. Well, there is a new one. This is via IGN.com, also by Matt Kim. It says, Humble Bundle has launched the Fight for Racial Justice Bundle, which includes over $1,200 worth of games and books for $30. 100% of the proceeds will go towards various charities and organizations that support racial justice. It says, quote, in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and tragically many others in the black community, we've teamed up with developers, publishers, and creators to help support the organizations fighting for racial equality. So there was another one of these a couple days ago, Mac. I don't know if you saw it. It was like 1,700 games for like $5. And I went ahead and bought it, and it's been killer so far. More importantly, it goes to a good cause.
Oh, so nice.
Now, here's the thing I never understand. One of the games that was in this $5 bundle was Celeste. Now, that's like a $20 game. And all of these games are for sale for like $20. Are they just reaching out to each game developer and saying, hey, do you want to be part of this and not get paid? Or how does this work? Does anyone know in the chat? I'm genuinely curious about this.
I certainly don't know, so hopefully we have an industry insider who joins us each week who's willing to weigh in.
Well, Mac, let me ask you this, because you've bought Humble stuff before. It's not always for charity, right? It's usually just a good deal. Is that my understanding is right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So is it just a loss of profit, or is it lesser-known games usually that are trying to get their name out? How does this work?
I mean, I honestly don't know. While I have purchased one in the past, I don't really think I know where the burden or the benefit really lies.
Okay, and someone just said in the chat, Kane said, as far as I know, they are donated keys. So donated game keys. And then Ishmobile said, pretty much they are broker deals. They do always give some to charity. That makes sense. So it's just people being good people, I guess. That's a fantastic thing. Why am I so skeptical about people being good people? Who knows? But it's good to see that it's happening. Let's keep things moving to the next news story about... Mac, have you ever played Legos growing up? You ever been into Legos? I'm debating if I should even share this story.
So when I moved away from Los Angeles, a neighbor smuggled a box. You know those types of plastic bins that have like the interlocking like tops, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that size of a bin filled to the brim with Legos. And they smuggled it into our moving van as a, you know, goodbye present. It was thousands of dollars worth of Legos.
Wow.
And they threw it in the back. They're like, we love you, we'll see you again, Mac family. And and yeah, so I played Legos so much after we moved away from LA. Now the downside is I was, you know, you're never too old for Legos, but I was probably I was probably flirting with the edge of the suggested age range at the time. But those are just suggestions, after all. And yeah, so love me some Legos.
See, here's the thing. I like Legos as a creative tool. I hate them as a parent, dude. They're just too small. They get all over the place. I have permanent Lego marks in my feet, dude. Like, I don't even walk around the house without socks on anymore, simply because I know that I will step on a Lego.
I thought you didn't walk around without socks because of the poor circulation.
Hey!
That's a callback to the comedy special.
I like that. Thank you so much, brother. Someone just said wear slippers in the chat. Mets girl said wear slippers. It's not a bad idea. I'll have to get myself some manly slippers. Anyway, the reason I brought up Legos, we get so off topic, which is fantastic, is because Lego has revealed a full Super Mario product line. And Mac, they are not messing around with this product line. I'm looking at the prices of these. They have 16 different sets. They range from $5 character packs all the way up to a full-out $60 Adventures with Mario starter course. I'm curious who in the chat is buying this, if you guys are Lego fans. I feel like something like this, Mac, the Legos are so specific to this set that if you have a lot of other Legos and they get mixed up together, you would be so frustrated. You know what I mean? I feel like that's the major issue with Legos, is you collect them, but unless you keep them organized, it's just a point of frustration when you want to later build Mario's castle or whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. But regardless, for those of you who are fans, this is available. Mac, any video game Lego set other than Mega Man, which one are you picking?
You know me so very well.
It was going to be Mega Man. I know you. I know you.
Other than Mega Man, I would love some Celeste Legos.
Ooh, dude. That would be dope because it's already kind of that style. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's already that pixelated, beautifully pixelated style. So that'd be great. I'd play some Celeste Legos.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you could, like, launch the character somehow and, like, bounce it off of stuff based on trial and error. That would be dope. I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
Last news story of the week. This is on GameInformer.com. And this is one that kind of made me mad because I feel like when something fails and it's clear that it's failing, you try to save it, but after a while, you just have to cut your losses. And this is about the Google Stadia. It's by Brian Shea. It says, Google has announced a price drop on Stadia Premier Edition, which was previously set at $129. The bundle featured a Stadia controller, Chromecast Ultra, and 3 free months to Stadia Pro. Summarizing, now it costs $99, and it doesn't come with a 3-month subscription to Stadia Pro. So, rather than fixing the problems, it sounds like they are dropping the price, which to me is frustrating. Mac, do you have any opinions on Google Stadia as a guy who plays on tablets a lot?
So many opinions, Mr. Nice Guy. So many. But I think pertinent opinions, I share your frustration 100%, where I'm like, you know, don't drop the price, fix the problems. I mean, also drop the price, sure, I'll go with that, but don't do it instead of fixing the problems.
Yeah, give me some good games. Make sure that there's a good refresh rate, right? Make sure that there's no encoder errors or anything like that. And make sure that it's up and running so that people actually want to play it. Anyway, slow news week until we get to the topic of the week. That's it for news for now.
All right. Well, then let's look into the past. I have 4 things I want to discuss. We'll start with the newest one first. In 2013... The Last of Us was released for PS3. Obviously,
hey.
Yeah, obviously we're coming up on the release of the sequel, The Last of Us 2, coming this next Friday. Yeah. Or yeah, just
this Friday.
This Friday.
Yeah.
And that should be good. I think The Last of Us was really, really good at telling its story and making you feel about the characters. In 2011, something that is a little bit more close to my heart, would have been the publication of Mega Man issue 1. That is the Mega Man comic book, put out by Archie Comics. That's when they published the first one. I want to say that it's still ongoing, but I know that they've run at least like, 60 issues of Mega Man, and at some point in time they even did this this thing where they in the comics tried to kind of connect the classic Mega Man series with the Mega Man X series in a way that was a bit more, shall we say, understandable than previously. Mr. Nice Guy, have you ever checked out any of the Mega Man comics?
I have not, and I'll be honest, I did not know that they existed.
Ah, well, they've been out for 9 years.
Well, you know what, Mac? There's so much content out there, I can't know everything, but it sounds like they're fantastic.
You know, they are good comic books based off of a video game IP. I am sure that there are probably better ones out there, but also at the same time, it's Mega Man, and I'm super biased, so of course I think it's great, and I think you would love it, but... You know, I'll let you decide. Don't take my word for it. Love you, LeVar. In 2001, we saw Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, the film. That's right. Now, I actually, last time around, I made some commentary about the various films, the video game films that had been released in times past. And I believe that I had made the claim that that up until we got Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, and then somebody rightly corrected me with Lara Croft, that video game movies had been box office flops. But previous to tonight, I took a look back at some of the stuff, and interestingly enough, video game movies tend to kind of bounce around on the spectrum. Some of them tend to do very well. The Lara Croft films all did great. The Resident Evil films all did pretty great, you know, by cash at the box office. Things like Mario Brothers obviously didn't do well. Alone in the Dark didn't do well. And not 100% sure, but it seems like the video game movies, surprisingly, seem to have a lot to do with, I don't know, the construction of the film. Anyway, point being is that there were both successes and failures in the video game movies before Lara Croft. But Lara Croft certainly put video game movies on, you know, more people's radars. Anyway, and then last, but most certainly not least, that I want to throw out there, in 2000, the release of the little game called Legend of Dragoon. So, Legend of Dragoon, I liked it, right? Is a four-disc game for the original PlayStation, and it had some good things. It also had some things I didn't care too frightfully much for. One of the things that they definitely wittingly did when they designed, like, the battle system is they had all these little quick time events inside of battle to see if you continued to chain your attacks into the, into however the maximum level of attacks you could do. And it was, you know, it was definitely something they wanted to do, and they said they did it because they wanted battling in an RPG to feel less like, oh, you just push the button and you're done. But I mean, I have mixed feelings about it because it's one of those 40-hour, 50-hour JRPG video games, and after that many hours, you start to get like, maybe we could just get through this random encounter without me having to put... Yeah, exactly. It started to become a chore. So I have definitely mixed feelings of those, you know, those types of things. Although, those quick time events, they do keep you going on it. But Legend of Dragoon in the year 2000. And that about wraps it up for video game history. I guess there were some interesting things that went on about the Magnavox Odyssey and the Atari, but I actually think I'm going to save that till next time around, because it's a bit more of a trip. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to discuss our topic of the week, and you know what it's about. It's about that PlayStation 5 reveal event that happened last week. If you follow us on Twitter at @2NerdsInAPod, I was live tweeting some of the show, and I'm pretty excited for how it turned out. I feel like they did a good job. We're going to do a quick rundown of some of the announcements that were made, some of the information that was not provided, and I want to get in the chat, especially for those of you who are really into Sony, what you are most excited about that is coming with the PlayStation 5. Now, Mac, I want to give you one piece of information before we even start. Sony told us a bunch of games that are coming. They told us a bunch of features. They did not give us a price or a release date for the PlayStation 5. Xbox has not done it either. Sony just said it's coming at a later date. It's June. Why are they waiting so long to tell us? I mean, I can't see why they won't just tell us what the price and release date are going to be.
I mean, I know we've discussed in previous episodes how they're kind of doing, a sort of game of chicken between, you know, Sony and Microsoft. Maybe that's still the case. Maybe they're waiting to see who's going to blink first, who's going to divulge first, and then kind of undercut or snipe them. I mean, I don't know, but if they, I think we can safely say that they will, no matter what, want to have the PS5 out for the holiday season. So even though we don't know, air quotes, know when the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X are coming out, we do know that they're coming to us before Christmas 2020, before December 25th, 2020. Because that's, I mean...
Right.
Right? I mean, how could they not?
Yeah, I agree. They've said holiday, and so we just know it's holiday. We don't know when. Someone brought something up interesting in the chat. Kane said chip production and prices are still all over the place. No, I think that that may be part of it. Mac, I went to, just to give an example that kind of relates, I went to Costco last week. You know, I like to smoke meat. Y'all know I like to barbecue. I went to go get some stuff, and I was looking at brisket. Brisket was $5.99 a pound, and that's a lot for brisket. To put things in perspective, it's usually more like $3.50. So when you're buying something that's 10 pounds or 20 pounds, it can really add up, right? And the reason why it is that price is because of coronavirus, right? Mm-hmm. It's making it so that less people can work, which means that lines are slower, assembly lines are slower, and so prices are up.
And also, you are less likely, you know, I mean, meat plants, meat packing plants and the like, you have to have a bunch of people working there in close conditions.
That's exactly right.
And I know at least, or at least I'm familiar with some of the tales coming out of, I want to say, the meatpacking plants at Grand Island in western Nebraska, that they've had a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of delays and a lot of problems due to coronavirus and trying to balance that of, you know, we want to make meat, we want to get that out on for customers, but also at the same time, if all of our workers are coming down with coronavirus, that doesn't work for us either.
Right, and I think Spenis hit the nail on the head in the chat with his comment as far as how this relates to PlayStation. He says there's a lot of wait and see happening. Price points probably won't be unveiled until as early as August. Hard to tell as production and parts supply have been affected by COVID. Now, that's exactly right. So let us know in the chat, for those of you who watched, what games you're most excited for. Here are some of the highlights that came from the event. If any of you have played Spider-Man for PS4, you know that it was phenomenal. We are getting a Spider-Man Miles Morales game that's coming out, I believe, holiday 2020. They said that it is not a full game, but it's more like Uncharted The Lost Legacy type of length. So it's not Spider-Man 2. It's not in the same thing. It's completely its own game, which is pretty exciting. Mac, one thing that really stood out to me is that they are going to put Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PlayStation 5. Now, to put this in perspective, that game released on the Xbox 360 and PS3. It was then ported to the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and now they're going to put it out on the next-gen consoles as well. I cannot think of a game that has spanned three console generations before. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is a new thing, chat. Let me know.
I don't know. Skyrim? Has that spanned three generations yet?
Ooh, that's a good question. No, because Skyrim...
I know Skyrim's been released for every dang platform in the planet, but I mean...
Yeah, so Skyrim, it was on Xbox 360 and PS3. That's when it first came out. And yes, it was remastered for these current gen consoles, Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So if they put Skyrim out again, then yeah, that would be another one.
Okay.
But for now, I believe it's only on two generations.
Well, all we need to do then is just wait until these announcements come and we find out we're getting Skyrim, folks. And then
that's exactly,
you know, and
right.
then it'll have contenders. Oh, yep, Galvatron. Now, GTA 5 is the new Skyrim, ported everywhere. See, Galvatron, we're on the same wavelength.
It is. Now, one other game I'll talk about quickly that kind of had me hyped is the new Ratchet & Clank. That was one of my favorite series on PS2. The new one is going to be called Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. It looks like it's going to be killer. The graphics are good. It has the same likable gameplay, so I'm excited for that. We are getting Gran Turismo 7 as well as a bunch of indies. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to get people's thoughts on what they're hyped for, how they're feeling about it. If people are thinking about purchasing it day one, what is the maximum price you would pay? Let me know in the chat. I had read somewhere that the profit, or rather the cost, is $450 per unit, which leads me to believe that they will charge at least that, if not more. Now, one other point, Mac, and I know this is going to get you heated, and then we'll end on this. There is going to be a digital-only version of the PS5 with no disc drive. So Sony went there, and I think that we're moving that way, man. I'm sorry, brother.
It's a shame, and I hate to see it, and it's one of those things where I feel like sometimes like I'm watching the train wrecks in slow motion, especially with regard to digital only, but you know, oh well, I can only be an angry old man trying to warn people for so long before I'm just like, yeah, well, I guess I'll just have to let you all run into that wall for yourselves.
I guess the thing I just can't understand is why someone, let's say you like to play your games digitally and digitally only. Why do people not watch movies? Like, why would you not want the disc drive just to be able to play the Blu-rays? It has a nice Blu-ray player. Just pay the extra whatever it is, and get the Blu-ray player on there. I don't understand that. Now, Metzgirl says the digital only version had better have 10 terabyte SSD. I forget the amount of storage that they have, but I do believe that the digital version had more storage. It was not 10 terabytes, but it did have more storage than the physical. Anyway, that's what I had for topic of the week.
All right, well, now it's time for us to take a look at a crowdfunding project that is trying to get off of the ground. We call this Kick or Kickstart, and as you know, we want you to weigh in as well. I am posting a link in the chat for those of you here with us live. This is called Corvin, Path of Redemption. So first off, this game made in the Unreal Engine, and it is inspired, heavily inspired by the Ultima games, specifically Ultima's 5 through 7, really. They're looking for $45,000 to make the game, with a $25 buy-in if you are interested in it. Delivery to be at around April 2022. So we've got a little ways to go on this. Now, currently, they still have 22 days to go, and they're at 20,000 of 45,000. So they're not quite to that halfway mark yet, but plenty of time for them to get the rest of the way there. Real-time open-world RPG without any quest markers of any type in this type of a game. Again, they are taking, you know, heavy inspiration off of the Ultima games. It has a story behind it that, well, I mean, the opening is you're basically someone from this world, from the real world, if you will. And you go to this fantasy realm and you are trying to basically help people, and in that way of helping people also kind of help yourself. It feels like this is one of those games, and I hope they don't do it, but just from what I've experienced of it so far, I feel like this is one of those games that could do that cheeky little twist at the end that's just like, and it was all a dream.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. I'm sorry, go ahead, man.
No worries. So, but it's one of those that it definitely looks kind of nice. I like what they're doing. The combat is interesting, and there's a lot of ways to interact with various objects in it. They're doing in Unity, of course, I think I mentioned. Oh no, I said Unreal Engine earlier. My bad, I meant Unity. Yeah, there's more rewards if you want some more physical stuff. You can get access to the beta as well if you want to pay a little bit more for that, for the beta download. Something around the neighborhood of $45. That says estimated delivery of April 2022 as well, but I suspect that beta is going to come at least a month, if not a couple months before. So anyway, that's Corvin. Mr. Nice Guy, any thoughts or impressions?
So, Mac, I always have a problem with a Kickstarter that is 2 years out.
Uh-huh.
That's just too long, man. You can't make people wait that long when they've put money down. Now, I didn't catch, and I'm trying to look, what is the cost of actually getting a copy of the game?
$25.
Okay. And I don't think that that's unrealistic for an open world RPG, right? Mm-hmm. I like the premise. I don't think that it's particularly unique. I'm looking at their website right now, and I think it looks clean. I think that they know what they're doing. Did you mention if they've already done a game before, or is this their first?
I did not mention. I'm not 100% sure. This is their first. Kickstarter, though.
Okay, and I agree with what someone said in the chat, Kane, that this goal feels too low, because it is too far out, right? Mm-hmm. And I believe one of the first rules of creating anything is that you should pay yourself once you start making profits. And depending on the size of their team, no matter what it is, even if it's one person, with the amount of hours that would go into making something like this, it's hard to pay yourself based on what their Kickstarter goal is for 2 years. So I think it's well put together. I like the premise. I really don't have a lot to say about it other than those two things, the cost and 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years is rough. That is for sure. Well, you know me, I have to have a demo on this. And there are plenty of times where there are Kickstarters that look promising, but because they have no demo, we kind of skip along because I don't want to just be like, nope, no demo, no go. But they do have a demo for this. I liked it. I grabbed a copy. They do say from that, they said, quote, "We provide the demo so you can see in which direction the development is going and what you can expect from the game. Even though the demo shows a very early version of the game, we think it also shows that we are capable of creating the promised game. We provide the demo so you don't have to blindly trust us, but have some form of proof that we can create Corvin." And I loved that. They said what I'm always thinking whenever I look at a Kickstarter. It's just like, but can you actually do it? So, but yeah, the demo. Demo's good. It's about what I expect. It takes me right back to Ultimas 5 through 7. So,
man, you know what, man? I'm going to be the negative Nate today.
Okie dokie.
And say that I am going to kick it. It's just, I'm out, dog. Okay. For the reasons that I said.
All right. Well, I'm not upset, Mr. Nice Guy. I'm just disappointed. So now we turn it over to you. Let us know what you think. Should this be kicked out of here or should it be kickstarted? Let us know in the chat. We are tabulating the results from here. And so far, it's looking good.
Let me say one thing positive about it. I like that they're not trying to put it everywhere. It looks like they're just doing this on PC. Is that right? To start?
They do, as a stretch goal, said that they would make a console version if they hit 120K. And that would put it on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, subject to approval by those, you know, by those entities.
See, and that's where it gets hard, because we really are right at the cusp of getting new stuff, getting new hardware as far as PlayStation and Xbox. Mm-hmm. So if they start porting it to the previous gen, that's fine, but they just need to understand that the next gen may have completely different architecture, and it'll be a challenge. It'll be a hard thing to say, we made a port for PS4, we want to now get it on PS5.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Gotcha. Well, it looks like we're also fairly divided in the chat. While Kane and Metzgirl are with me on Kickstart, Ishmobile's with you on the kick. He seems like it's not enough money for them to make this project and to properly focus their time and attention by paying themselves to do the work. So we'll see where it goes. Obviously, we wish these guys the best of luck. Good luck to Lycantic Studios on Corvin. I'm sure looking forward to seeing it released. But that's what we had for Kick or Kickstart.
Awesome. Well, now it's time for a segment of the show we like to call Nerdflex.
Woohoo!
A segment of the show where we ask some trivia questions. I can't even talk today, man. A segment of the show where we answer some trivia questions and hopefully we get them right. Now, if you're here, you have a job to do. If you have some trivia questions you would like to ask us in the chat, we'll take one or two and get those questions in. But I do have a couple that are already pulled up from our little test bank. And we'll see how this goes. Let's see. This one is going to be one that I don't know the answer to. Maybe Mac does. It's about Metal Gear Solid. Here's question number one. Which Metal Gear game features the intercontinental ballistic Metal Gear?
The second one? The second Metal Gear Solid?
And that's what makes it an easy question to guess, because we know that there's numbered Metal Gear Solids, but I don't know which one that is.
So there's Metal Gear Solid, there's Sons of Liberty, there's Twin Snakes.
Correct.
And
there's Metal Gear Solid 4, there's Metal Gear Solid 5.
Sure. I feel like I'm just kind of taking a flyer and saying number 2.
Yeah, this is one that I should know as a guy who really likes stealth action. I should have played all the Metal Gears, but I did not, unfortunately.
For shame.
So I'm going to go with Metal Gear Solid 5, just because it's the most recent one.
Okay. You say 5, I say 2.
Oh, geez. The correct answer is Portable Ops. I did not even know that that was a Metal Gear game.
Yep.
I wonder if that's like a PSP game.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm Googling it now.
We had 3 people in the chat who thought it was Snake Eater. And y'all were all wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a PSP game.
Yeah, Portable Ops just led me to believe that it had to be a PSP game.
Yeah, released in 2006 for the PlayStation Portable. Interesting.
So I feel like we've been going 3 for 3 and we're already 0 for 1. So let's do another one. And once again, if you guys have questions you want to ask trivia, get it in the chat. Next question is Mario question. Who is the final boss in Super Mario Land?
In Super Mario Land?
Yes. Now, Super Mario Land is the one that is for Game Boy?
Yes. I think so.
And, no, yeah, I know it is. Oh. And it's one of my favorites. Here's what I know. I know that the final boss is you're in an airplane and you're shooting a side-scrolling
So is it Wario? Boss. Is Wario the final
it's
boss?
It's not. No, no, no. This is before Wario was invented or was put out on Nintendo consoles. So I'm going to go with Airplane Boss. It's an air boss. Do I really have to know the name to get it right? You know what I mean? We might go 0 for 3 today.
So hang on. Here's what I know. Final bosses in Mario games. Even though it's technically Doki Doki Panic, we have King Wart in Super Mario Bros. 2/Doki Doki Panic. We have Bowser in so many of the games. I mean, yeah, nope, that's the beginning. And then I guess Wario.
Yeah.
So those are the three bosses I know.
This was a unique Mario game. It's very much like one of the bosses is like a lion that you like shoot a bunch of times. I'm not even kidding. Like it's a different Mario game. Mario Land. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Airplane Shooter Guy.
Okay, Airplane Shooter Guy. And Kane does bring up that Wario is the second Mario Land game.
Yep, the 6 golden coins.
Yeah,
yep,
6 absolutely. Golden coins. Okay, so Mario Land is not the 6 golden coins. Okay.
No, and Mac, I think after this you should look up some footage of Mario Land, because it's a killer game.
Okay.
It's a great game. But anyway, what's the answer? It is... See, this is ridiculous. Tatanga is the name of the boss.
But is Tatanga the flying one?
Yeah, absolutely. The last level is you're in an airplane.
Okay, Tatanga. Yeah, no, it totally is. You know what? I say we give this to you because you knew who it is. You didn't know the name.
We'll take it. I'll take it. What do you think, chat? Do you agree with Mac? 1 for 2? We're 1 for 2 right now?
Or are we 0 for 2? Now, in the meantime, we do have a third question courtesy of Spenis. The question is, in the board game of Monopoly, most of the properties' standard rent would scale up by $2 around the board, but there is a slight exception to the pattern. With this in mind, what is the standard rent for Park Place?
Oh, jeez. Spenis, what does that have to do with video games? And once again, before the stream started, I mentioned Spenis is a good friend of mine. So that's why I'm yelling at him. Standard rent for Park Place. I'm thinking it's like in the 20s or 30s.
This is a Unix system. I know this. Because
isn't Boardwalk $50, or is it $50 to buy?
Yeah, I feel like rent. No, it's like $450. But I feel like rent on Boardwalk and Park Place were like $10 apart, and one was like $40, the other was like $50. But I mean, the purchase price was like $400, and you know, $450, or $400, and you know, and $350, or something like that. Because okay. I know that the green properties, which I loved those green ones, I couldn't actually name them for you, but those ones there, that those had prices. You know, those had prices much closer to like 200 and something odd when you purchased them. I know that doesn't help us in the rent prices, but yeah, I think you're right. Boardwalk and Park Place had like, you know, rent values of like 40 and 50 and stuff like that.
Yep. Okay. So for Park Place standard rent, what are we going with?
Well, hang on. Which came first? Is it Boardwalk, then Park Place, or is it...
Nope, it's Park Place and then Boardwalk. Park Place and Boardwalk then Boardwalk is the most expensive.
Okay, property. And so Park Place is the next one. I say $40 for Park Place.
I'm gonna double or nothing and go with you on that.
Okay, sweet.
$40.
We are both in, yeah, North Carolina, Pacific, and whatever. I loved the green properties, but let us know. We've gone with the $40 rent on those. Let us know how we did.
Boop, boop.
Rent
boop,
for Park boop. Place and Boardwalk were $15 apart, Mac. You were correct with Boardwalk being $50, but Park Place is actually $35. Oh, it's a $15 jump, not a $10 jump. Gosh, I knew it was close in there. And I knew Boardwalk was $50. I just knew it. So, dang it. Well,
that's all right. Hey, we went 1 for 3, so y'all know yeah. We're human now. That has been Nerdflex.
All right, yeah, that's Nerdflex. I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed, really. Well, okay. Now that we have gotten through the most of the show, let's take a look at some legalese.
Legalese.
First, I want to give us all an update. Back in episode 86. We first talked about the issue of Nintendo pre-orders. Basically, you know, the not allowing you to cancel/refund pre-orders of their games. We first talked about that and how that was kind of frustrating to some consumer rights groups in the European Union. And then in episode 125, which was earlier this year, we talked about how Nintendo tried to sidestep the issue entirely. Basically, on the one hand, the consumer rights group said, hey, that's a violation of consumer laws in the European Union. And Nintendo said, no, it's not because of, you know, insert reason here. And I won't bore you by rehashing that. Go back, listen to episode 125. But the ruling's been handed down and the court sided with Nintendo. For those reasons that I, you know, that we talked about in 125. But that's where we stand with that. Let's now throw on a whole new case.
Let's hear it.
This is another loot box lawsuit, and this time it's aiming squarely at Apple. So this is a class action directed at Apple alleging the following. Number one.
I wonder why Mr. Android chose this case today.
So, hey, don't forget, last episode I talked about a lawsuit that was going on that involved both Apple and Google. I'm not
I'm just joking with you. I'm just messing up.
Oh yeah, I know. So they claim three actions. They allege Apple is engaging through loot boxes unlawful and unfair business practices in violation of California's UCL, by violating California's gambling laws and the gambling that they are doing via the apps, also violates the provisions related to gambling in unsuitable locations. So basically, in California law, they're like, if you're going to gamble, you have to gamble in pre-approved locations. You know, there needs to be certain things in place. And they're like, so not only via loot boxes is there gambling going on, on, but also it's happening in pre-approved places in California because it's happening on anybody and everybody's phones. Number two, their claim of unfair and deceptive business actions. They cite California Civil Code 1770 Section A14, representing that a transaction confers or involves rights, remedies, obligations, and that it does or obligations that it does not have or involve, or that are prohibited by law. And they say that representing the loot boxes as valuable prizes is in violation of that, because loot boxes are definitely not always valuable prizes. I think that's a little bit of a weak argument, but we'll continue. Item number three, unjust enrichment, which is kind of just how it sounds. That by doing the above and directly enriching themselves through these in-app purchases inside of their apps, they are enriching themselves. And so it's an interesting class action suit. People are getting into it. What are they asking for? They're asking for the following. How to put it? We want money! To quote a stand-up comedian who is who's delightful. They're also asking for the cessation of selling of loot boxes by Apple. Attorney's fees, costs, and, you know, whatever else. And I want to just throw out a direct quote from paragraph 107. Quote, "There is no societal benefit from Apple's conduct, which includes promoting addictive gambling as entertainment for children and families." So just wrapping this all up. The case, you know, in their case, they make a lot of claims. They hang their hat a lot on the ideas related to loot boxes and things like that encourage addictive behaviors, as well as loot boxes and such don't really have the value that they are, you know, that they are proposed to have. I don't honestly know if the arguments that they are making are strong enough to get them where they want to be going. But then again, not a lawyer, just play one on a podcast. But I have seen quite a few lawsuits, and I don't know if this can go the distance. Don't sue us, Disney. But nonetheless, that's some legalese for you.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Mac, thanks for sharing that.
Oh, of course.
Always fascinating. Before we go, we have one last segment we like to do called What We've Been Watching and What We've Been Playing, where we talk about just that, the cool, nerdy stuff that we have been into. And if you're here, you have a job to do, let us know in the chat the cool stuff you've been watching and playing all over the place. Mac, why don't you tell us, man, what have you been into?
Well, I've been doing a lot of prep work for an upcoming game of GURPS that I will be doing Sunday the 28th on Thread Raiders. Metzgirl will be there, as will several other people. We'll be playing a game set in the Firefly universe. And so we had a zero session, which was fun. We got to know some of the characters, some of the players, and I'm cautiously optimistic for our game that is coming up. Apart from that, there was the demo from the Kickstarter, but I did not get any of my usual, you know, Master Chief or Halo Master Chief Collection games in. As traveling kind of threw wrenches in that, and then, you know, unpacking once I got back. So been a little slight on games lately. As for watching, Mrs. the Mac and I are always watching Star Trek. And yeah, mostly just Star Trek lately.
So what's a good starting point if someone wants to get into Star Trek?
So it kind of depends. I feel like the proper place to start is Next Generation, Star Trek Next Generation, probably in season 2 or so.
This is on Netflix or no?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it is.
And you season 2, interesting.
Start with season 2. I think it's fair to say that most series take a little while before they're, you know, before they really get into the groove. And they, you know, the actors know who the characters are, the writers know, you know, what's going on. I think that's true of everything. And same thing with Next Gen. There are also some really great episodes and really great things from, like, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. One thing I particularly enjoyed about Deep Space Nine is that it was less about the especially later on became less about the Federation, about the idyllic society, as it was the aliens surrounding the Federation. And as such, Deep Space Nine tended to be a lot more dark, both cinematography as well as in storylines. But I mean, it was still just so good. And Avery Brooks, man, he was a pretty good captain. But anyway, Star Trek, I think you'll like it if you get into it.
Dude, I want to. We got so many people saying what they're watching in the chat, which is phenomenal. Anything else, Mac, or should I go through mine as far as my
Instagram? Why don't you go for it?
Okay, so we watched, what did we watch? We watched Hunger Games again. Mm. Love that movie. Mm-hmm. Classic. We also watched the new movie Artemis Fowl. It's about this kid who is...
I have read at least one of the Artemis Fowl books back in the day.
Okay, so do you want my opinions on the movie, or should I just say that I watched it?
You know, give me your opinion on the movie.
It was not for me.
Okay.
It was very juvenile. Is how I would describe
it. Now, if I may interject and point out that it is a young adult novel, so it is kind of by definition juvenile.
Right, but so is Harry Potter, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of adults still enjoy Harry Potter. Same thing with the Percy Jackson series. My wife and I thought those movies were decent, even though they're based on young adult books, and the Maze Runner stuff as well. Some of those are young adult things, but they come out to be good movies, and that's what we were hoping we would get from Artemis Fowl, mm-hmm. but it was absolutely not for me. Also has the hilarious Josh Gad, so we were expecting it to be a little better than it was, but it is what it is. So that's what we've been watching. Haven't had a ton of time for stuff other than that. I think I got an episode or two of Community in. I watched the new Dave Chappelle stand-up special mm-hmm. that's on YouTube, and it's not meant to be funny. It's more meant to be socially conscious, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you can watch that if you're into that type of thing. And as far as what I've been playing, I've been replaying The Last of Us, Mac. I got back into it, and I'm hoping to wrap up before The Last of Us Part 2 comes out on Friday. Let's take it to the people. They have been playing and watching a lot.
Sure. Let me go. Let me do the playing and you can do the watching.
Deal.
Mets Girls playing Earthbound at this very moment. So multitasking.
Nice. Multitasking.
Ooh. Also, solid SNES tile. Let's see. Ish Mobile is playing Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, Mario World, and Insurgency Sandstorm. Kane's playing RimWorld Command and Conquer Remaster and Hard Space Shipbreaker, with Spenis playing MLB The Show, Pokemon Shield in preparation for the expansion tomorrow, Streets of Rage 4, Clubhouse Games, and at long last, he has finally started Super Mario RPG. And then I think nice. Galvatron's bringing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Streets of Rage 4, Dead Rising 4, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath. And that takes care of what people are playing.
Nice. Now, as far as what people are watching, we have... Where is Uncle Ruckus's comment? Where'd it go? There it is. He is watching Bob's Burgers, great show, and Letterkenny. Have not heard of that. Ishmobile... Oh, he was commenting on what you said earlier. Mets Girl is watching The Expanse and Firefly. Galvatron is watching Gallivant on Netflix. Very funny. Merlin on Netflix. Parasite on 4K. Still the best movie of 2019, he says. And When They See Us on Netflix. Great, but very upsetting. Ishmobile is watching Rogue One. And that is it. And what else we got? Spendis is watching Worst Cooks in America, Shipping Wars, and The Challenge. And did I miss anything, or is that pretty much it?
Way back in days of old, there was a legend told about a hero known as Gallivant. Square jaw and perfect hair, Cajonies out to there. There was no hero quite like Gallivant. I may have seen it.
It sounds like a modern day Beauty and the Beast.
Have you not seen Gallivant?
Like that sounded like the Gaston. No, I haven't.
You know, I think you would quite enjoy it. You and the missus would quite love it.
Gallivant, adding it to the list. Well, cool. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 144. Mac, why don't you take us home?
Sure. Thanks for being here. You all are fantastic. And the greatest viewers on Twitch, the greatest listeners on podcast platform here, and just fantastic. Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. We will see you next time, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. So keep it nerdy. See ya.
See ya.